Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. My name is Brandon Ginden, and I'm the senior pastor here at Real Life Ministries Texas. And I want to welcome everybody to our podcast. And today is a little bit different. Lori is on vacation, and I'm grateful for her, and I'm hoping she's getting some rest and time away. But on the podcast today, I am excited to have my friend Jim Putman, who will be joining me in this conversation that we have been in around this principle of contending for the faith. And so, Jim, I'd invite you just say hello to everybody.
Hi, folks. Good to talk to you. Can't see you.
it's great to have my friend Jim, and we have, as I said, have been in this podcast about contending for the faith. And so, if you missed the first two of this series, I would encourage you to go back and watch that. And today we are going to be diving into some of the practical sides of this. And I know for Jim, this is a passion that he has for both of us. And just for those of you that do not know Jim, Jim was my first pastor and my friend, my dear friend at Real Life Ministries. And I had the opportunity to serve under Jim on staff first as a small groups pastor, and then eventually the executive pastor, and we did ministry close shoulder to shoulder there in Post Falls at Real Life Ministries for 14 years together. And then God called my family away, and we planted here in Texas, and Jim and I continue to do ministry together now, ministering to churches and in our communities, and it's just a joy to get to be together and on this podcast. But gosh, we've been hunting partners, traveled different countries together. We've had quite a journey together, Jim.
Yeah, well, I'm so grateful that it's not like the old days when you had one of your closest friends and brothers move away. You never saw him again. You know, I can travel, you can travel, we can see each other like this. Just, you know, your face is like an antidepressant to me. So I'm glad I get to see you.
An antidepressant. Jim, you've called me a lot of things before, but not an antidepressant. So that's good, I guess.
I'm getting soft in my old age.
You are. That's funny. Well, we've been in this series. And so, Jim, we've talked about, Lori and I, as I said on the previous podcast, just in today's world, what it means to contend. You know, that word, kind of agonize and wrestle and to contend for the faith today, to stand firm as Jesus calls us to in our faith. And so, you know, I'd love to just start right there, with you and kind of ask that question, you know, of, I know this again is a passion for you, about, you know, some words to the listeners about what does that mean today in today's world? To contend for the faith, what do you think that looks like today? What does that mean for you as you've encouraged people in your church, you've preached on this, and to the listener today that is in a world that is growing and being antagonistic and difficult for the faith to walk out? And so for you, what does that look like? What does that mean to stand or contend for the faith today?
Well, it's super difficult. It's more difficult than ever before for a couple different reasons. You have to look at first the faith, right? What does that word actually mean? You've got the contending or fighting for, struggling for, holding on to, persevering in. There's that part. But then there's the faith part, which was once for all entrusted to the saints. And right now the problem is you've got people who have redefined the faith.
Yeah.
And then they want to say, but we've got to be unified. And when you talk about the faith there means the body of knowledge and lifestyle. So when Paul says, hold to your life and doctrine closely because through it you'll be saved, or all scripture is God breathed, it's used for training and correcting righteousness, so the man of God maybe thoroughly equipped. You know, you start putting it all together, and you have to go, okay, well, there's the holding on to it. But a lot of people, like right now, there are people where I live that are trying to say, I'm holding on to the faith, but it's really Christian nationalism.
Yeah, right? They're redefining the term faith, right?
Yeah. So they're like, I am contending with my gun when I might save my food and will kill you if you take it. Or I am going to. So there's this just such confusion around what does it actually mean to contend biblically, but what is the faith biblically? And, yeah. You know, you and I helped put together the RDN, Relational Discipleship Network. And it's like, hey, it's not just the teachings of Jesus. It's also the methods of Jesus.
Right.
But it can't be less than the teachings of Jesus, what right. He actually said for us to teach people to obey. Right. So it's just a very, I got a lot of people that are using kind of this slogan, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, freedom, in everything, love, right? This statement by a Lutheran pastor in the 17, 1800s. Now they're kind of incorporated it. So then they're like, well, it's not an essential. So essential for salvation, so you're free to do what you want. No, if God's word said something about it, you may be, if you're not being an understanding husband, you don't even care to be. It may not be, you could be saved, probably, maybe. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. He says something about that. But being an understanding husband is essential to a good marriage. And what's going on is these people are coming up with ways to ignore what God has clearly said about women's roles or about gender. But I believe in Jesus, and I'm contending for Jesus is the only way to salvation. But I'm rejecting what it says about righteousness, what he says about righteousness. So it's a very helping your people navigate. Where do you stand? What do you stand on? Not just what's the truth, but how do you stand on the truth in a biblical way? You don't fight like the devil for the things of God. You fight like God for the things of God. But what are the things of God? It's just a very nuanced, confusing culture. And then you're trying to be a church leader who's keeping people unified over this is an essential. This is, you can have this conversation. It's preferential. But this is where we're standing. This is, it's just harder than ever to lead in this whole environment and to know what to stand on.
Sure. Sure. And so I love what you said about that, about there's basically been this redefining of what the faith, you know, the thing that we talk about is the methods of Christ and the message of Christ. And so that's been this redefining, or sometimes even kind of picking and choosing. Well, I'll pick this part of the Christian life, but I kind of ignore this other part. And in the scripture here, this contend for the faith, it that meant something. That term faith meant something. You know, one of the things we talk about in our church is part of that definition of faith is in your lifestyle. It's an allegiance to Christ. It's a commitment to Christ. It's a commitment to the things that he said. And so there's all this confusion now around what it means, what the faith means. As you said, there's people that redefine it as a Christian nationalism, or they redefine it as it's just love and accept everybody. You know, acceptance equals love. And that's not necessarily true either, right? Mm-hmm. And so then how would you help? Let's take that part about faith, okay, for the listener, for the, you know, the mom and wife that's driving in the car right now listening to the podcast, the dad that's, you know, he's headed to a sales meeting right now, he's listening, you know, the Christian that's listening to our podcast today about faith, maybe give a word or an encouragement to how would they, you know, to define that term faith. How do you live it? What does that mean to live out that faith to that they're holding on to? Let's give, you know, give some thoughts to that on how that faith is defined.
Yeah. You know, in my life, I would say to the listener, it's more difficult than ever. My wife was talking to me last night. Somebody had said, hey, I found this really cool version of the Bible, the Passion Bible. And so is that a good version? No, it's not a good version. And yet it's on the internet and some people are going for it. And this guy supposedly got called up into heaven and got into the library of God. And then he's translating this new version. And she's like, well, how am I supposed to know? Mm. Right. What is true? Who do I believe? Because everybody on the internet's got, you know, some sort of credentials. Or there were guys who used to believe something that I even brought to our church or handed out his book. And now he's moved off into pro-homosexuality, you know, like an Andy Stanley or some of these guys. You've got all these, what are you supposed to do anymore? And I think, for me, that was the question I had all those years ago. If, okay, Jesus is the Son of God and there's a gospel, which one? How do I know? And so I went, well, okay, it seems to be a lot writing on which gospel, right? And in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's fairly particular, right? So he killed some guys for strange fire. You know, he, you bring in something different than the way he says it. There's only one way to salvation. He's pretty particular, as a being. There is a way to sacrifice, what to sacrifice. You know, Jesus had to meet all the requirements of the law. He seems to be pretty particular. And so that matters. So then I go, okay, do I listen to Martin Luther, John Calvin, you know, the 1500s, the 1600s, the great councils? What do I even do? So that's where I went, okay, I'm going to go back to the first church. I'm going to start reading the apostles of the apostles, or the disciples of the apostles. And even though they're not inspired, they were closest to the event. And they can tell you what they understood directly from the mouth of the apostles. So it's like, okay, I'm going to read the scriptures to the best I can as it was really originally written using good hermeneutics, right tools for understanding scripture. And I'm going to care a lot about what Polycarp says more than I'm going to care about what, you know, Rick Warren says.
Yeah, somebody modern today. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and go, how did they apply it? Because they have the ability to have conversations and go, what did you mean by that? And sure. when you look at how they laid out the church, they did it in a way based on what they had heard directly from the Lord and the apostles. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to care about what they believe. And if they believe adding to or taking away from or living in a specific way was wrong back then, I'm going to take that principle and I'm going to go, I'm going to be pretty particular about people that come up with something new. If it's new and you know, so this progressivism that, you know, the Bible was a great place to start, but the Holy Spirit was going to move from there away from all those things completely contradicts what Paul says about if an angel of heaven comes preaching a different gospel. We've got all these warnings for a reason. Right, so you want to be in a Bible believing church that holds the scripture as it was understood in the beginning. And whenever you hear something new that hasn't been around, you should be skeptical.
Sure.
When it comes to lifestyle, right? When it comes to doctrine, right standards, wrong standards. And so I would say that's first. And I came to those conclusions before I was a pastor. So I didn't need to go have a Bible college degree. I just had to be concerned and I needed to start looking and asking wise, godly people that I knew. And even my dad gave me some things that I didn't agree with after I was done. Right. Yeah. So just because I was handed it doesn't mean it's true now. And so it's like, all right, I'm going to be to the best of my ability accurate to what God's word says about lifestyle and right and wrong.
Yeah, that's great. So a couple really solid things I heard you say is first is for people that are like, okay, well, what faith do I believe? What do I hold to? You know, Jim, what you said is, well, we need to go back to what first the New Testament said. How did Jesus define faith? How did Paul define it? What does it say in the scripture? Before we go look at some commentary or somebody today, some modern pastor today defines it, let's go back to what the scriptures say and to spend some time in that. And also adding to that, well, what did the first church believe? What did the disciples of the apostles believe? And those are writings, whether, you know, like somebody said by Polycarp or that we can go and look at today. What did they say about it? Those resources are out there for people to go and look at. But again, to go back to and look at, let's not overcomplicate this, is what did Jesus, how did he describe what faith was? How did Paul describe what faith was? And when Jesus gave the gospel, and he says, like in in Mark chapter 1, the gospel is this, the kingdom is here. He's saying, he is the Messiah. He said, I am the Messiah. He's here. My sovereign reign and rule is here. And part of the gospel is that you believe in me, you follow me, you repent, you, those basic fundamental things. What is it that we hold to? We hold to the faith that is described in the New Testament, not some, you know, some modern, you know, hybrid version of it today because it sounds good culturally.
It's easy to fit into your life. You know, I'll just prayer and be baptized, check a box, had an event, kind of like I had a marriage ceremony, but I don't have to live in a marriage covenant. Right. And that's right. What people do. They want something that will fit so they can go on. They got, you know, go on with their life. And Jesus is both Savior and Lord.
Right. Right. That's great. Excellent. So let's shift now and go, okay, person, you know, that again, that's listening and they're like, well, I hold to that. I believe in that faith. I'm doing the best I can to hold to it. And we're going to get more into this next time. And we're going to do a two part of this. And so, but I want to kind of tee this up. Now the principle of contending. So they're holding to this, to the right faith, or, you know, they're listening. They're like, man, I've got to get my definition back to what the Bible says. And so now this principle of contend. So Jim, you know, again, I've heard you preach on this. In your mind, what does it mean for just, you know, the Christian people in the church today? What does that mean to contend for their faith?
Well, first of all, there's an internal abiding contending I have to do first, which is I have to die to my flesh. There's a battle that goes on inside of me every day to, I know what God's word says, but I have a sinful, rebellious nature that doesn't want to do it or wants to do it as long as it, you know, it turns out in an outcome that I want, or unless I'm tired, or until I'm tired, you know. So there's this internal, So they're just I've got to contend, battle inside, put on the armor, entrust myself to Christ, let Him prune me, remain in Him daily. And unless you do that internal contending first, then your external contending for the faith is people want to do it. You know, it becomes judgmental. I'm going to, you know, as I contend with for my own faith personally, it humbles me. I'm like, man, I struggle with this. I look at the log in my own eye. I'm like, wow. You know, and as I abide in Christ, not only is there the rule to follow, but the heart behind the rule that, okay, so rather than hating you for sin, I'm like, man, I want to help. God wants to save you from it. My heart towards you can be anger because what you're doing is impacting my life, or it can be sadness because what you're doing is hurting you and others. Yeah. And as you spend time with Jesus, that changes it from, I'm going to fight like the devil. You know, you're going to have to, around here we have these, I'm a Christ follower. My boss is a Jewish carpenter next to a bumper sticker that says, you're going to have to pry my cold dead fingers off my gun.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm contending for the faith. No, that's the Second Amendment. I don't see that anymore in Scripture. But there's this, if I'm not contending inside, holding to, battling for, battling myself, the enemy, then the way I contend for the faith externally becomes fear-based, anger, hurtful, judgmental, and plus, I don't have the strength to both do the right thing for the right reason and the right heart that comes from abiding in Christ, which in part is contending for the faith.
Man, that is so good. This is what I heard is to contend for the faith. I mean, it starts with us personally. It starts internally. It starts in our own abiding and relationship with God. That before we can ever go anywhere, this is something we've got to be dealing with within ourselves, you know, dying to our own flesh and submitting to the Lord, and which is really the application of faith, of, you know, living out that faith that we have. Is it starts with, you know, within us. And so I think that's such a a critical part, because if we don't, then in some ways, if we go to and try to, you know, stand for our faith in the midst of an attack or a disagreement, then we come at it from the wrong place. We come at it from a flesh place. We come at it from being contentious with people, versus, like you said, Jim, just sad over our own sin, our own brokenness, our own in place of humility. We're grateful for what Jesus has done. It changes how we approach it. I think that's really, really solid. I just, before we wrap up here really quick, just kind of one more thing is just, you know, that principle of abiding for you, Jim, where does that start for you? With, you know, I know it's kind of the Christianese answer is like, well, it's reading the word, or a time in prayer, but maybe get to a layer deeper than that about abiding in Christ. Where does that kind of always start, or that motivation for you to abide in Christ, to press into that relationship with God?
Well, for me, I mean, the practice of it is me spending time to go, okay, as a pastor, it becomes, what can I teach people today? But the truth of the matter is, if it's not just about information, you know, Jesus quoted Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their rules are just man-made rules, right? It's going, okay, God, I need to reflect on who you are and who I am, what you've done, what you're capable of doing. And there's journaling that I'll do in that, and I'll write down my prayers. There's a lot of just repenting for bad attitudes, for, you know, what is your Holy Spirit saying to me? The focus has to be me, and not just information, but how am I actually doing in that? Which the answer is always not like I should be, and I have to be relying upon God's grace. Right. I did this right, so I can do that. It's like, Lord, I have no standing in front of you, honestly, because if you have to do the right thing for the right reason every single time, I don't even know what the right thing is half the time. I mean, I know what the right and wrong is, but, you know, and the right reason. And so many times I do the right thing and hope somebody will notice, right? And when you start, you're like, Lord, the only standing I have in front of you is what Jesus did on the cross. That's the only thing standing anybody else is going to have. So it humbles you rather than you're beating your, you know, you're more the beating your chest at the synagogue saying, I'm unworthy, than the one standing in the back, you know, I'm glad I'm not like it. If you really let the Holy Spirit be a double-edged sword, it changes your stance when you go talk to other people.
Yeah. And that's so good. I hope that everybody listening today, that really encourages you, and that this idea of contending for the faith, you know, Jim, I just appreciate hearing your heart that it starts at that place of really that self-reflection, a place of realization of who God is and what he's done, what Jesus has done. And, you know, because a lot of times when we think about, you know, and sometimes there is that place of contending for the faith means that we do need to fight for it. But that fight starts with an internal motivation of humility and surrender to Christ. That's us walking that out and us contending. And sometimes the most agonizing thing that we can do is stop and kind of face our own brokenness, face some of our sin that we need to repent of. And that is us contending for the faith. And so, Jim, I really appreciate the conversation we've started. We're going to continue on in a part two. And so to everybody that's listening, just grateful again that you've joined us. And I want to encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, and hopefully that you are encouraged, that you're inspired to contend for your faith here in the middle of our culture, and to be that light that Jesus calls you to be. And so we look forward to our next time together, Jim. God bless you all.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.